Today's presenter is Bob Gibson. Bob's an advisory software engineer who has over a quarter century of experience in numerous software-related roles at IBM, including application programmer, architect, developer, instructor, technical support analyst, and tester. He is currently a team leader for the technical support group responsible for IBM Software Distributed Application Server. He holds both a Bachelor of Science degree in Engineering Science and a Master of Science degree in Computer Science from the University of Virginia. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bob.
Thank you, Elijah. Good day, everyone. I hope everyone is having a good day and hope that this presentation will be of benefit to you. If you have questions, please write them down, make note of them, and we'll do our best to try to get answers for you. If not immediately, I will be interested in getting back to you. Okay, this shows the agenda, and to begin with, I'll start with the fact that I do not intend to read the screens. I tend to dislike that technique. You can read as well as I, and I will speak towards the information that's there and may point out some particular items of note to be discussed in more detail. Also like to begin with the fact that because I am providing some sample script files, small programs that I've written, they're not supported IBM software. They're just there for your edification and education, and feel free to use them, manipulate them, change them to your heart's content. Okay. Because of the extent and length of this presentation, there is no way I will be able to cover all of web server administration with Jiva. It's just an enormous topic. So some of the things I will be able to talk about are some of the tools, techniques, and idioms, and provide some sample scripts. Also want to talk about some ways to approach some of the common tasks. And unfortunately, I won't be able to go in great detail about all of the various tools that exist, but I hope to just expose them to you so that you can take a look at them at your convenience sometime in the future. The resources information at the end of the presentation does contain some references to further information, and I look forward to hearing from you if you have additional resources that you would be willing to share with me and others. Okay, one of my reasons for doing this presentation was I was and am less than thrilled about the kind of example JSON scripts that I've been able to find, especially in the Information Center. They're just too trivial, too small, and don't give a lot of background information. So what I wanted to do was start collecting some complete scripts, or by complete scripts I mean small programs that do a particular task, targeted to a particular task. And when I did that, I had people interested in seeing those and discussing them with me, and they encouraged me to share them and work on providing the information to a wider audience. So hence this presentation. Okay, one of the things that I found that not a lot of people think about is the fact that some of the examples that exist in the Information Center make me think that the person who provided the example comes from more of a Java background than a JSON scripting background. For example, many of the examples have a reference to asking the Java virtual machine about which end-of-line separator is in use. And so they have a couple of statements near the top of the script or example where they ask the Java runtime, hey, what's my line separator? And then use that line separator to do the splitting or demarcation of information into pieces to be worked on. Unfortunately, that is not a good idea, because you can have a script working on or running on one operating system that, and at the same time be connected to a web server application server that exists on a totally different platform. So the end-of-line separator on your local application or your local client, web server administration client may not be the same as is found on the application server itself. So the example that I'm trying to point out here is you have to be careful. There is a difference, or there can be a difference, in that the particular end-of-line separator, which on my Windows machine is a character-to-turn line feed pair, doesn't always agree with the one that's in use on the application server platform to which I'm connected. There exists a function within Jython that comes from Python that can be used to be a little bit more intelligence for splitting on end of lines, and this works regardless of the platform on which you're running and regardless of the source of the string being processed. So one of the things that I've found is when I share this information with people is that it's like, oh, I wish I had known that before, because I've run into problems where I have these extra character turn characters sometimes. Anyway, the main thrust of this presentation, I want to talk to some of the tools and techniques and idioms that I've been able to use to write and build some scripts. And one of the most common or fundamental ideas is the way in which I develop scripts. Some people are more comfortable with a one command prompt open and using the web server administration tool, WS admin tool, and using it in an interactive fashion, typing in commands and seeing what the responses are, and more manual intensive. Others will have a command prompt where they will use their favorite text editor, VI or Emacs or whatever, to build the script and then iteratively execute WS admin and point to and have it execute or interpret the script that on which they're working. And then others are aware of and comfortable with an Eclipse graphical user interface tool called the IBM Application Server Toolkit for Web Server Application Server. That's a mouthful, and but I'm supposed to use that complete name, but once I use it, I can just call it the toolkit. And that has a symbolic debugger and allows me to do source code debugging and single step through my scripts, and that's not something everyone's familiar with, so I just wanted to point it out. We'll see a screenshot of it, but because of the duration of this presentation, we won't be able to go much into that detail. If you have an interest in that particular toolkit and using it, maybe you could send in some comments, and we could possibly even do a WebSphere Support Technical Exchange presentation specifically on that that topic. Anyway, this particular screen is showing an interactive WS admin session where the first command line is just changing to a directory that happens to be associated with one of my WebSphere Application Server 6.1 profile bin directories, and then invoking the WS admin tool and specifying the language to be used as Jython. The first few lines that are generated are used by WS admin to tell the user how it is expecting itself to be used. And because I don't specify the name of a file or script to be executed on the command line, it is started in interactive or interpretive mode, and it gives me a WS admin prompt, which is WS admin with a greater than sign at the beginning or left-hand portion of the line. And on these screens, I have the text that the user would type in blue to separate or delineate them from what we would see generated by WS admin. This first command is a little bit long, but it's a invocation of one of the WS admin objects, this particular one called admin control, and invoking a method of that object, and that method being query names, to ask the admin control object to tell me what servers are defined. And the response of this and most of the objects, the WS admin objects, are in fact text strings. And those text strings have end-of-line markers, and by using the split lines method at the very end, which is a method of the string type, the result of this expression after the equal sign will be a list, which is a concept within Jython. It's very similar to an array in other languages. It's a list of strings, where each string represents the response that identifies the server information that is known to the admin control object. And the very bottom of the screen, we see the three individual lines, and the ending portions are removed so we don't clutter up the lines, hence the red ellipses at the end. But this particular information is showing that when I started WS Admin, it connected to a deployment manager, and that deployment manager knows about itself, the web server name equals dmanager, also knows about the node agent, and it also knows about the application server whose name is server one. So those are just configuration identification pieces that are generated in response to the query for what servers are known. Well, one of the things that I find is some of the responses, individual lines of generated by this query, are very involved and hard to read. So one of the things that I wanted to do is, and this particular screenshot just shows a script that I wrote in the context of the toolkit, and showing where within the Eclipse framework I can look at the source code, I can signal step through, I can generate the output, and this is very beneficial and useful for doing development and testing and debugging of the scripts that you're working with. Not everyone's comfortable with that, and I just wanted to provide it as a quick reference. Anyway, one of the things I wanted to do was use this script. This particular one call is listservers.py, and process those lines of information, the results of the admin control query names, and give it in a tabular form. So this is the simple kind of thing that I can do based or using a Jython script, because it has a lot of text processing and string processing and manipulation constructs. And so I find the output in this kind of form easier to read, easier to understand, easier to work with than some of the things that are returned immediately by the application server based on individual queries or commands. Okay, one of the other things I wanted to talk about is common scripting idioms that occur. One of the ways of laying out scripts is to gather global variables, hopefully there's very few of those, and functions that are created at the top of the script. And near the bottom of the script, we have statements that are executed that determine how the script file is being processed. One of the common idioms is shown here, and it is used to determine whether the script was executed by WS Admin or the toolkit. And if that is the case, then it, in this case, invokes the specified function that's defined previously in the script file. And this particular one has the name of list servers. One of the things that is unusual about Jython and the language on which it's based, Python, is that indentation is significant. And fact that indentation and whitespace are significant is something that gets a little bit of getting used to, but the once you do, it's very readable, and the fact that you're using indentation significantly makes for the scripts that are readable not only by you and others, but when you get back to it in 6 months or whatever, you have much greater likelihood of being able to understand what you are doing in the script. Okay, some of the other things that I find myself using frequently are I like to minimize my opportunities for errors, and when I have to add extra typing, extra syntax to do a job, I'm more likely to make a mistake. This particular example shows that I can use some of the string methods, and this particular one is split, to break up a given string, and the string is surrounded by quotes, based on the context of an individual character. In this particular example, I can use a comma as a delimiter. So the first line in blue is how I find myself writing the initialization routine, if you will. And what this does is it generates, the result of this statement will generate a list, as I called previously an array in other languages, a list of strings. And you don't have to use the comma, but I find myself doing that just convenience and habit. So that if we look at the difference between the top and bottom initializations, the bottom one has extra quote symbols and extra square brackets, which are the characters that denote a list within Jython. So I have found myself much more likely to make a typing mistake while typing the latter example, and so I tend to lean towards the former. Okay, in addition, there are some things that not everyone is aware of, and that's the string format operator within Jython. And the first completely blue line shows that you can use string concatenation to build a string, and using the plus as a concatenation operator, we can have a string literal concatenated to a variable, concatenated to a string literal, blah, blah, blah. And that is easy to make a mistake. I found myself leaving one of the concatenation operators out and don't find it until I try to execute the script. Easier is to have the complete string, as shown in the third blue line, and note the presence of the %s, which is a string substitution format operator that says it will look for the variable outside the string, which is within the parentheses, and it will take the first variable and take its value and format it as a string and place it at that particular place within the string being generated. So both the lines that have assignment statements for the SVR variable would generate the same output given those values as seen at the top. But I find the second, the using the string format operator, to be less error prone and less likely to cause problems. And in addition, if I use the string format operator, and I do need to translate messages, for example, into other languages, then given the languages with using the string format operator, I can read my messages in from a file, and then I really don't have to worry about the concatenation statements because they wouldn't be used. I would just be using the string format operator to build my messages for the particular locale in question. Okay. One of the common errors in Python and Jython is the realization of or misunderstanding that you really don't want to use or change, you can use, but don't change the loop control variable within a loop. The top example is processing elements of a list and based on a particular value, removing that specified value from the list. That's dangerous because of the fact that if you are modifying the list as you're iterating over it, is something that can cause you difficult to diagnose and difficult to locate problems or coding errors. There's a method, a technique in Jython called a slice, which allows you to make a copy of a sequence. And in this particular example, the presence of my list variable and with a suffix of the open square bracket to access as though we're trying to index a particular element, and using an element of the list. Normally, you would have a starting and ending element identification with separated by the colon, but by not providing either the sequence of characters, open square bracket, colon, close square bracket, say, basically, I want the complete copy of the original sequence. And so this syntax allows me to easily make a duplicate of my list, and then I can iterate over elements from that duplicate. And then within the loop, I can make modifications to my original list, and therefore the iteration over the copy would be unaffected. In addition, another thing that is very valuable and very important is having error checking code. I have seen numerous examples where people forget to take into consideration that some of the invocations of the WS admin objects can in fact result in an exception or error. And if they don't include the try except statement, their scripts don't terminate well and don't recover well and don't give the user an opportunity to understand what in fact occurred. And as shown in this particular example, we can generate another message at this point using the string format operator seen previously. Okay, one of the things that I find or have found a little annoying is trying to access in one place, in an easily searchable source file, if you will, all of the help associated with or for the WSAdmin object. So one of the things that I did was take a look at the help text that can be generated using the help method for each of the objects. And there is a convention that is followed by almost all of the generated help text where we have some information about the command, and then we have a list of object methods, and the object method names are on the left-hand margin, and then after some indentation, the associated text for each of those method names. And so what I wanted to do was invoke the help for each of these objects and extract the associated method names for each of the objects, and then request the help text for each of the methods. So in order to do this, I needed to be able to extract the method names from the text. And this pointed out a really powerful feature that exists within the Jython, version of Jython that exists with WebSphere Application Server 6.1 is support for regular expressions. If you're unfamiliar with regular expressions, they are extremely powerful, extremely valuable, and extremely cryptic. So it takes some work to get comfortable with and get familiar with regular expressions. There do exist some tools on the web that provide assistance in teaching and learning and working with and building and testing regular expressions. One of the things that is shown here is the regular expression portion of this screen is just in red. So that particular sequence of special characters is used to identify or locate the method names that are on the left-hand margin, and method names have to be followed by white space. And the purpose of this routine is to, given a section of text, find and retrieve the method names and return that list of method names to the invoking program. So the statement here is showing how by invoking that function, it returned just the names of the methods that we saw two screens ago that all began on column one and were followed by white space. Very, very powerful little routine we saw on the preceding page. It's basically two lines. And that's just a quick example of the value and power within something like a regular expression. And because much of the Webster WS admin is dealing with or processing of text, I think you'll find that the use of regular expressions is well worth your time and effort in learning. Now, given that we have that particular list of methods, we can then use those names by invoking the same object and requesting help for each of those method names in turn. Now, this three-line at the bottom of the page in blue is just part of, or the big part, if you will, the real work of a small script that I developed to generate the help for all of the objects. And this screen is just a high-level picture of the kind of output that is generated. It gives me the help for the object itself and then iterates over all of the method names, getting the help for each method name in turn. And by using this script, I can generate in one text file that's very easy for me to search with my text editor all of the information that I may want to find about the individual object and methods and how they're used. So let's take a look at that script. This is the surrounding infrastructure. We have some definitions of, without comments, unfortunately. I don't have enough real estate on this slide to show all the comments I'd like to add. But there is, at the top, we define to the script that we'll be using regular expression package. And then there's the definition of the methods function that will extract the method names. And then there's a little, how is this script to be used kind of usage function. And then on the next screen, we'll see the real meat of the script with a function named objhelp. And notice at the bottom of the script is, as I talked about earlier, there's the idiom that's used when you invoke this script and use it within WSAdmin or within the toolkit. It will allow you to call, or it will automatically call the objhelp function that we'll see on the next page. And here's the real meat of that function to do what I described a couple of pages ago, generate all the help for these four WSAdmin objects. The objects are highlighted now in red, and we have a data structure called a dictionary in Jython, and the dictionary is denoted by the curly braces, and within the dictionary we have a key and value pair, where the key in this particular case is a string and then a colon, and then the value happens to be an object reference. So for each of the WSAdmin objects with which this script will be working, there's the name as a string, and then the object reference itself. Okay, and then given those strings, we can generate the list of WS admin objects using a sort method that exists for my list, and then we can iterate over the elements of the dictionary, and using the name, we can extract the object reference from the dictionary, and then we can print the help for that object, and then extract the methods for that object, and then iterate and print out the help for each of those methods for that object. Very small, I guess, what's that, about 15 lines of code to generate that that output. And that gives me, by invoking that script with WSAdmin and redirecting the output to a file, it gives me one file that contains all of the help for all of those WSAdmin objects. And I have used that time and time again because it's much easier to locate information in one contiguous file in my text editor. And I don't have to be connected to the internet or anything. I can just have my laptop and the output file, and I can do it wherever I am. Okay, another thing that is quite common is that since WSAdmin objects return strings, this particular example shows where we use the admin config object, and we want a list of servers splitted into lines. And this particular one, I picked the first server that's retrieved, and what we see on line 3 is the server configuration ID, and it starts with server 1, and then have a parenthetical identification of what WebSphere uses to identify this particular configuration object. And then if I use that configuration ID, I can invoke the admin config object and reference the show method. And what I get back is the information we've seen at the bottom of the screen. I happen to pick out a couple of lines there and highlight them in red, and we'll see why in a moment. But the syntax that we see there is we could process it as a text. We could look through each line for the particular information with which we're dealing. We could use substrings to reference that. But that would be very complicated code, or very difficult to work with. And should the information that's returned from the next version of WebSphere, whatever it be, change the order of the information, then our scripts might change. And that's not a good idea. What we want to do is isolate ourselves from those possibilities, and at the same time, we can make use of a data structure that exists within WebSphere, within JSON, called a dictionary, and we saw that before, where we have a name-value pair. Excuse me. In this case, we see the name as the first thing after the open square bracket on each line, and then the value, the thing that occurs after the name. So we see the name, white space, or single space character, and then the value. So what would it take to take that text and create a dictionary from it? A simple little routine, I think 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines here. It, given a configuration ID, like we see on the third line here, it automatically invokes the admin config show routine, given that configuration ID, splits the text into lines, processes each line looking for a name value pair, and then adds those to the dictionary that it's building as it goes along. And at the very end, it returns the result, which happens to be a dictionary, to the calling routine. So here is an example of how we could make use of a simple function like that. We get the server name, and then we invoke the as dictionary function and pass the configuration ID, and what we get back is a dictionary. And here, by referencing the dictionary and providing the key in question, and particular here we use the key name string and server type string, we get the associated values. I'm going to back up just a little bit. And those are the lines I had highlighted in red. Notice the name and server type are the keys for these particular lines in the generated text. So it's a lot easier to work with the right data structure, and JSON provides very good data structures and string processing techniques and capabilities, and those are the foundation things that I find that I work with time and time again, making use of JSON and its structures, its packages, its modules, and its the underlying operations that are there. The originator of the language Python, on which JSON is based, has referenced the fact that sometimes Python is referenced as a language that includes batteries because it has all sorts of capabilities and packages that already exist and can be used to make your life easier and make your programs, your scripts, robust, easier to understand, and therefore easy to maintain. So, excuse me. Again, we have really powerful string processing features, and we have some really powerful data structures, and we have a very readable syntax, all adding together to make JSON a much easier to work with, much more understandable scripting language than the predecessor, Jekyll. We have a bunch of resources here that are particular to the application server and some references to Python. Unfortunately, not too many exist for JSON, specifically with the administration of the application server in mind. And I'm working on that right now, and hopefully it won't be too long. I might be able to get a book out of this. We'll see. And in addition to that, we also have some WebSphere product resources that may be of use to you or your colleagues. And I think I'll end with a question and answer. Now, one of the things here is because the programming language Python is the creation of a guy named Guido von Rossen, he chose the language to indicate his love of Monty Python and the Flying Circus, which is a comedy group out of Britain. And so many of the examples that you see in literature for Python include references to Monty Python skits and Monty Python movies and stuff like that. So this is my tipping my hat to Monty Python as far as this presentation is concerned. This time I'll turn it over to Elijah for question and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob, for a great presentation.
And our first question will come from Jerry Carlin.
Hi. I've had a little bit of experience with regular expressions, so, and I know that there are subtle differences. I've got the O'Reilly book, and every once in a while I've got something obscure where I've got to go look it up. Is there regular expressions in Python, Perl regular expressions, or what variety do you know offhand?
They are very close to the Perl regular expressions. There's a lot of commonality. The direction of regular expression support in many languages, Python, therefore JSON, and JavaScript, are going towards the common Perl common regular expressions, PCREs. There are some tools that exist, like regex buddy and regex test support site, website, that allow you to specify the language or the form of regular expression with which you want to be working. And I find those as valuable tools, looking for those. Does that make sense, Jerry?
Yep, thanks.
Good.
Once again, that is star one if you have a question. Our next question will come from Asha Mishra.
Yeah, hi. I want to know, like, the difference between the Jekyll and JSON, whether which one is recommended, and are there any pros and cons of that? And the second part is I want to know more about the toolkit. Is it like a separate license product, or it just comes with WebSphere and we can install?
Excellent questions. The first part is Jackal has been around since version 5.0 of the product, okay, with WS Admin. And as of 6.1 of the application server product, Jackal is being deprecated, which means it's not going to be turned off and removed immediately, but it will be around for a couple or more versions. There is a utility that can be used to assist with the translation of Jackal scripts to the JSON language, but that requires some amount of study and manipulation and understanding of the translation that occurs. Much like natural languages, when you translate from one language to another, the idioms that make sense in one language may not relate well to the language to which you're translating. So the Jackal to JSON conversion assistant exists as something that is available. I believe it is part of the network deployment supplemental installation disk. And I know that on that disk we also have the application server toolkit, which is based on the Eclipse framework and has the JSON support provided with it. So if you have the 6.1, and I believe the application server 6.0 supplemental CDs also has the Eclipse the toolkit, but you really want to go for, and this presentation is geared towards, the version of JSON that comes with and is provided with the version 6.1 of the product. Hopefully that answers your questions.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Our next question will come from George Trawick.
Yes, are there any stipulations for using JSON scripts with, like, running WebSphere on Z Linux?
The JSON is supported with the WS Admin tool, and in fact, I've had some clients use WS Admin on their local workstation, be it with Windows or Linux, and connect to their WebSphere application server on the Z platform. Now, I have not tried that. I have not worked with it, so I'm not aware personally of any things that any differences that exist, but it is my understanding that the coverage is very close to, if not completely the same, because the code underlying code base for both the Z product and the distributed products are the same basic Java code. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Our next question will come from Igor Pelitsky.
I have a couple of questions. The first question is it safe to use JSON 2.2 jar file instead of JSON 2.1 provided to manage FOSS? And are there any plans to support JSON 2.2 by IBM?
I can't speak to the eventual direction, but I would certainly hope that that is going to occur because I know of some existing defects for the JSON 2.1 that is available in the version of WebSphere 6.1 that have been fixed in the open source JSON 2.1 product. There's for example, there are some issues I encountered with regular expressions that they're known bugs and fixed bugs in 2.2. So as someone who likes to provide support to development and provide information to them, I like to point out these little things that I would like to get fixed. So that's certainly something that I'm very aware of and like to work with development to let them know, especially when customers encounter. Now, as far as the first part of your question, can you use the 2.2 JSON jar? I don't have instructions on how or if that is capable, if that's able to be done. That's an interesting question that I would like to, and I will pursue with development if we can get instructions. Now, I don't think that at this time we have sufficient instructions because it's not as simple as taking the JSON jar file that from the JSON org site and dropping it into the application server directory. I think there there are some subtle yet significant differences. So I do not believe that is valid or workable at this time, and I would hope that the development team would, in fact, go to the version 2.2 of Jython as soon as possible. So, unfortunately, I don't think we can do the first part of your question, and the second is something of which I am aware, and I am working to make development aware.
Thank you. May I ask another question?
Sure.
Is there a way to modify indentation policy in the AST tool for Jython from 8 hard-coded tabs to, for example, 4 spaces or something? I was not able to find anything. I tried to use third-party tools, but I would prefer to use original IBM tool.
I'm sorry. I don't quite understand. So the indentation for a tab, it would depend on your editor in question. For example, on my Windows machine, let me see if I understand the question correctly. When I press the tab key in a standard Windows environment, it goes over 8 spaces. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and it's not spaces. These are tabs.
Tab stops are.
Yes, and
but it's equivalent to 8 spaces, and that has been the case since DOS version 1.0, I think. And the answer to that is I have used an editor, specifically VIM, and also SlickEdit, where I get to specify what a tab stop means. Okay, and I use those.
Sorry, I probably did not clarify my question.
Okay.
What I'm asking about is AST, Application Server Toolkit tool, which allow you to...
Is there a way within the toolkit?
Yes.
I don't know. That's a really. I have not tried to pursue that. Let me. If I can get your name, I can try to track that down.
Igor Belitsky.
Igor. Okay. Tell you what, Igor. Can I get you to send me an email message, and that way I can respond. My internet address is B as in Bob, G-I-B-S-O-N, B Gibson, @us.ibm.com. If you send me a note to remind me, I will check on that and get back to you.
Thank you very much. And may I ask the third question?
Okay.
I try to use Jython in WebSphere portal environment.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you have experience with this part. Right now I found that most of the objects in the portal environment have get and set methods.
Okay.
But the portlet object has param get method, but does not have anything to set parameters. And are you aware, are there any workarounds, or are you aware about this issue?
I'm not aware about those, but in your email, if you'll also identify that, I can track that down and try to get that answered specifically for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Igor.
Once again, that is *1 if you have a question. Our next question will come from Satya Gatyu.
Yes, I wanted to know what version of Jython is being included in WebSphere. I think it was answered in one of the other questions. I think it is 2.1, am I right?
That is correct. If you go in at the command prompt, WS admin command prompt, you can import sys, S-Y-S, and then you could print out the value sys.version, I believe, or sys.info. I'm not sure exactly. I think it's sys.version, sys.version. And it will tell you that you're using 2.1.
Okay, thank you.
And one final reminder, that is *1 if you have a question. Our first question will come from Naren Kursov.
Hi, I had the same question, like what is the version of Jython
okay.
being shipped with 6.0? I got the answer, thanks.
We'll hear a follow-up question from Asha.
Yeah, sorry, it's just a different question. I wanted to know if, you know, the trade application, which is a sample application, comes with WebSphere, the configuration scripts in there are using Jython, or are there, like, any other samples available in terms of configurations of, you know, cluster, data source, et cetera, using Jython?
Okay. I do not have or know about those at this time. But as I alluded to earlier, I'm trying to work on, in fact, I did a more involved version of this presentation at IMPACT last month, and during that presentation or at the end of the presentation, I asked if there was an interest for or if people would be interested in buying a book if it exists. And there was a great deal of positive encouragement on the part of the audience to get me to write that and provide much more details than is presently available. And that would be certainly one of the things that I would want to provide examples that talk to real environments and data sources, connections to databases would certainly be something that would be appropriate to be covered.
Okay, thank you.
And we have no further questions.
Thank you very much for attending. I hope you found this presentation interesting, and I appreciate your time and attention.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Hope you'll join us in future presentations, which will be announced on the Western Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be on the site in the next day or two. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Bob, for presenting today.